Scoop. True stories that have made headlines. June 15th, 1919. Olcock and Brown. First transatlantic flight. 15 hours, 57 minutes. The tranquility of the seaport town of Clifton in County Galway. People gazed upwards, startled, apprehensive. They watched the bi-wing twin-engine Vickers Vimy pass overhead, belching smoke and flames from a shattered exhaust. Two men crouched in the cockpit, their faces gray with exhaustion.
There, Olcock, that field. Bring her down there. Right. Here goes.
Olcock held the controls firmly. The plane swooped down lower, lower. Suddenly, metalwork and fabric tore and twisted and snapped. The plane shuddered to a stop, its propellers biting deep into the mud of an Irish bog. For a moment, there was silence. The plane standing like a gigantic dragonfly. Then two figures scrambled from the wreckage, and minutes later, the news of the epoch-making flight flashed around the world.
Brown and Olcock fly Atlantic. Win Daily Mail prize of £10,000. Both men exhausted, but well. So they made it. By heavens, they made it! I knew they would!
That, then, is how the flight ended. The two men were feted and mobbed. They were knighted by King George for their services to aviation. Newspapers brought out special Atlantic editions. Their plane was installed in a museum. It ended in a blaze of glory. But the idea of the flight began in two prisoner-of-war camps in different parts of the world.
It can be done, Dave, and I tell you, I'll do it.
All right, Olcock, all right. I'm sick and tired of the subject.
Look, Northcliffe has offered £10,000 for the first non-stop Atlantic flight.
I would have thought you were fed up with aeroplanes.
Fed up with them? Why?
Well, if your plane hadn't got into difficulties, the Turks would never have captured you.
Well, that's the way life goes. The good with the bad. But I tell you this, Dave, there's nothing like flying.
I'll believe you.
That is the transport of the future.
Oh, you can count me right out of flying, thank you. I prefer my feet well planted on earth.
But you don't know what you're missing. Just think. £10,000.
Oh, Northcliffe must be mad.
He's a visionary. He knows it can be done, and I'll be the person to do it.
Alone?
Maybe. What I do need is someone who's an excellent navigator.
And a plane to fly that far.
And a plane.
In other words, old man, you're looking for a miracle.
No, not a miracle. It can be done. Once I get out of here, do you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the top. Right to the top.
The top?
The Vickers Aircraft Company. I'm going to persuade them that this is a practical proposition.
And you expect them to give you a plane?
Why not? I can put their planes on the map, their bomber especially. With a few modifications, it'll be ideal for the job.
Oh, honestly, Olcock, you're either a madman or a visionary as well.
Why not help me,
Help you? But you know what I think about flying.
I'll need practical help, aside from the flying angle.
You're quite serious about this, aren't you?
I keep telling you, Dave, I am serious. And the moment I'm out of the bag, I'm going to the Vickers people and I'm putting my idea to them.
I've discussed your proposition with my directors, Mr. Olcock.
And they agree with me, sir? It's an excellent idea, isn't it?
There is merit, certainly. There is merit.
Splendid. Now, when do we begin?
We've checked your war record. It's highly commendable. A distinguished flying cross, 7 kills to your credit. And I'm told that you're a man of undoubted enthusiasm and a magnificent pilot. Oh,
thank you, sir, but...
You aren't the first man who's approached us, Mr. Olcock.
Oh, really?
That surprises you, doesn't it, eh? But Lord Northcliffe's offer of £10,000 has captured the imaginations of many men.
Well, yes, of course, but you see...
Furthermore, I'll tell you this. At the moment, all over this country, other aircraft are being prepared for transatlantic attempts. And believe me, this idea of yours is not an original one.
But great heavens, sir, yours is one of the most reputable aircraft companies in this country. Surely it's in your interests to make this attempt.
No, we are, Mr. Alcock, we are.
Oh, I see. And who is going to pilot your plane, sir?
Well, you are, of course. You are.
I am.
My directors have decided to place at your disposal Vickers Vimy.
Vickers Vimy, sir?
As you know, Mr. Alcock, this is the largest twin-engined aircraft that was designed for bombing raids on Berlin.
They are magnificent aircraft,
sir. Quite so, magnificent.
But there have to be modifications, of course.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. We've gone into all this already. Extra fuel tanks, cockpit altered. Oh, yes. All this is going to take my company time and money, Mr. Alcock. Especially a great deal of money.
Oh, you won't regret this, believe me, sir. You won't regret it.
You'll need a highly skilled navigator. Have you anyone in mind?
Well, yes. Have you heard of Arthur Witten Braun, sir?
Witten Braun? Now, wait a minute. He was a prisoner of war in a Swiss camp, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right, sir. He spent 2 years flying as an observer with the Royal Flying Corps. And then his craft was shot down behind enemy lines. He severely injured his right leg.
Yes, I've heard about him. Wasn't he the man that worked out a revolutionary system of aerial navigation?
Yes, sir, that's right. Strange enough, while the two of us were in the bag, we were both thinking in terms of this flight. I'd met him, and he impressed me tremendously. He's a thoughtful, quiet, reliable type of fellow. They say he never panics, and I believe it.
Ah, splendid, splendid. His injuries, they haven't left him permanently disabled, have they?
Well, he won't be expected to run beside the plane, sir.
No, quite so, quite so. Well, if you're happy with Brown, it's entirely up to you.
I can think of no one better, sir.
Ah, very well then. I'll put all this to my directors.
And when will we start, sir?
Start? My dear Mr. Alcock, this is something that will take time. We mustn't rush things.
Yes, but sir, as you told me, others will be trying as well, and the sooner we...
Let them mind their affairs, Alcock, and we'll mind ours. Your plane must be in perfect condition. Nothing must be left to chance. After all, your lives and our reputations are at stake.
2 months later, the plane was ready and shipped to St. John's in Newfoundland. On May the 13th, the two men arrived to be greeted with the news.
Two planes have already taken off, Alcock.
What's that?
There's one of them over there. It crashed on takeoff.
What happened?
Well, it was overloaded and couldn't clear those trees.
And the other?
Well, I heard on the transmitter down over the Atlantic. Oh, the weather was terrible. And he got himself lost. Happy thought, isn't it?
Well, I've got the best navigator in the business, and the best plane. Now, come on, let's offload it and have everything ready by the time Vickers' director arrives.
The latest report to hand says that the weather is likely to continue for another 3 days.
Look, sir, I'm leaving tomorrow, no matter what the weather's like. Look, we've been here a month, sir.
Nine, but we've checked the plane and we've cut a takeoff field. It's been a devil of a job, Alcock.
Yes, but it's over now and we're ready to leave.
But the field is like a quagmire.
Well, at this rate, sir, we'll never leave. We can't wait here indefinitely for perfect weather. We've got to take a chance.
Oh, I don't like it.
Look, sir, Brown is with me on this. We're risking our necks.
It's my plane.
Yes, but it isn't. Well, it isn't much use parked out there, is it?
Well, I... But
look, sir, let's start fueling at dusk. We'll be ready to leave in the morning.
Alcock, you and Brown haven't let up since you arrived here in Newfoundland. You should rest and prepare yourselves for this.
The only rest I'm going to have is when the job's over. Please, sir, let's do this my way.
All right. But personally, I wouldn't attempt to leave, not in these conditions. Raging storm, fog, it's madness.
It might clear in the morning. With a craft fueled and ready, there'll be nothing to stop us taking off.
I give in, Alcock. It's over to you from now on.
She's taken 500 gallons of petrol and 40 gallons of oil.
Well, she should take 850.
Easy does it now, easy.
The weather doesn't seem to be improving, Alcock.
Yeah, so we've still got another 12 hours, sir.
What's the petrol now?
650 gallons.
He's weighing down heavily, Alcock.
Watch out! Stop fueling! What's the matter?
What the devil's happened?
Shock absorber gone by the look of it.
Hold steady over there.
Let's have a look at the confounded thing. Yes. Yes, no doubt at all, Alcock. Shock absorber gone.
I take this as an omen, sir. That's what I do, an omen.
An omen? What the devil do you mean, an omen?
Mr. Alcock shouldn't go on with this. The other two planes crashed. He should wait until the weather clears.
Well, we should be able to fix the shock absorber tonight, sir.
What?
But how in heaven's name can we, Alcock?
By the light of paraffin flares and car headlights.
Oh, impossible.
The mechanics agree with me, sir.
Well, in that case...
Good. I'll give orders then. We'll get on with things and have the plane ready in the morning.
Mechanics worked feverishly through the night. Car headlamps and paraffin flares illuminated the scene of breathless activity. By dawn, the shock absorber had been repaired and fueling started again. Lightning flickered in the cold, gray dawn sky while the men checked and rechecked the twin engines to which they would trust their lives. By 1:30, they were ready to leave. The moorings were cast loose, the mechanics swung the propellers, and the engines spluttered into life. The overloaded aircraft lumbered down the rain-choked field, engines screaming. While on the ground, the men watched with fear and apprehension in their eyes.
They aren't going to make it. They can't. They're going to crash.
Aboard the aircraft, Alcock saw the trees rushing to meet him. With sweat streaming from his face, he lifted the plane and with inches to spare, cleared the branches. He glanced at Brown.
His face is impassive. He doesn't seem to have a nerve in his body. I couldn't have chosen better.
Brown seemed to sense his thoughts, and with a grin, gave the thumbs up sign. For an hour, the thundering plane crawled across the sky, and then disaster struck. Thick fog seemed to swallow them down. It was then that Brown decided to send a message to Newfoundland.
What's happened? Transmitter's dead. I can't raise them.
But why? What's the matter?
Let's see. Ah, yes, the propeller on the wing for generating current has fallen off.
What?
But we'll manage. We'll manage.
I suppose Newfoundland is trying to get through to us.
It's no use, sir. I can't raise them.
Great heavens, man. You must keep on trying.
It's no use, sir. The transmitter seems to be dead.
1 hour from takeoff? I wonder what the devil's happened. What's the latest weather report?
This message has come through, sir.
Fog.
The Daily Mail are pestering us for news, sir. What do I tell them? That the transmitter is dead?
Tell them nothing.
But, sir, it would be best to keep them quiet.
When there is news, they will be the first to be informed. Meanwhile, what do we tell them? That no sound has been received since they left here? And furthermore, the entire area is covered in dense fog? They'll conclude only one thing, that they've crashed.
Well, sir, it looks that way to me. Hawker lasted an hour before his plane crashed.
I have every confidence in both Brown and Alcock. I'm positive that they're perfectly all right. We must be patient, that's all.
Yes, sir.
Try that confounded transmitter again.
Oh, there's nothing, sir.
Right. We'll wait then. I've never had any great faith in those transmitters anyway. They've always proved most unreliable. Hello? Yes? Yes, that's right, speaking. Oh, Daily Mail. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. I realize full well that they've been gone now 2 hours. One can't expect them to transmit continually. Well, you can print this. I have every confidence in the plane and the men flying it. The odds may be against them, but they are going to make out. Yes. Yes, yes, you can print that.
Meanwhile, inside the cockpit, moisture was condensing on Alcock's goggles. Unable to take his hands and feet off the controls, Brown had to lean across to wipe them. Then the smooth rhythm of the engines was interrupted by a loud machine gun clatter from the starboard engine.
What the devil's that?
Wipe my confounded goggles clean, Brown. They've missed it up again.
Right. There. Oh,
thanks. Look, it's the inner exhaust pipe.
Aye, it's split clean away from the engine casing. If only we could move it.
Well, nothing much we can do, Brown. Just pray those flames don't ignite the fuselage fabric.
Look, it's falling.
It's gone.
Missed us by inches.
The engine's picking up again.
Oh, I wish I could get this transmitter going. No chance at all.
What's the time?
8 a.m. Oh, if only I could check our course.
Yeah.
Look, there's a cloud break ahead. Ah, yes, yes, I can see the sun now. Now, let's check the course. Well, can you beat that? We're dead right.
Try that transmitter again.
Oh, it's no good, sir. It's completely dead.
I wonder where they are. Ships have been asked to keep a lookout for them, but there have been no reports of any sightings.
Of course, if they had come down.
If they had come down, they have not come down. I calculate that they have covered half the distance. That is, if they have been keeping to the planned average speed of 106 knots.
But why haven't we heard from them?
Anything can happen to a transmitter. But that plane is up there somewhere, and I'll stake my life on it.
It was now completely dark, and Brown took a star fix. They were still dead on course, and miraculously they had covered half the distance. But conditions aboard the plane were becoming more and more miserable for the two men. Their electrically heated flying suits had failed. They were numbed with the cold. And then, 600 miles from Ireland, the plane thundered into a storm cloud. Hail beat unmercifully into the open cockpit. And then the Billy stalled. For one horrifying second, it hung suspended in the black sky. Then it plunged through the storm in a vertical dive towards the weight-tossed Atlantic. Brown unfastened both their safety straps as Alcock battled to control the craft. It seemed that nothing could save them now.
There's a message received from the master of the steamer at Base Island, sir. They heard the sound of aeroplane engines.
What? Where? Let's see that message.
Here it is, sir.
Aeroplane engines heard approximately... Yes, that makes it almost halfway. Well, this is a relief. 1,500 hours, yes. Weather conditions, storm and snow. But they're still flying. They haven't crashed. Oh, most heartening. What's the latest weather report?
Oh, snow, storms. There doesn't seem to be any letter.
But they've still made their way to halfway. And by heavens, I know they're going to finish.
At that precise moment, the altimeter of the plane was registering only 1,000 feet. The two men braced themselves for the shock of a crash. When they roared out of the storm into clear sky, only 60 feet above the waves. Miraculously, Alcock kept control.
We've made it. Man alive, we've made it. What's the compass reading, Brown?
We're heading back to Newfoundland.
What?
The storm must have twisted us around. Here, this is the correct reading.
Ah, good.
Only this weather was held on. More snow on the way by the look of it.
Yes, I'll take her up. We might rise above it.
Ah, good idea. And I'll be able to get a star fix.
But the bad weather haunted them. Snow and sleet and driving wind, while the intense cold froze their hands and numbed their bodies. The wings of the aircraft became sheathed in ice. The air intakes were blocked, and the engine, starved of air, began to beat irregularly. Brown shone his torch on the engines.
Do you see, Alcock?
Yes. Intake's frozen.
Well, we'll have to try and chip it off.
Chip it off? How? Brown, what the devil are you doing?
I'm going out there.
What, on the wing?
Yes. Now, let me unfasten my safety belt.
Don't be a fool, man. The wind will blow you off. But your plan is suicide.
Look, it's suicide to sit back here and do nothing about it. The engines are missing badly. Unless those intakes are cleared, we'll crash.
No, you mustn't do it. Brown, don't. By heavens, man, no.
Now, keep the plane as steady as possible. I'll manage. Now, hold her steady.
Come back, you fool. Come back.
Alcock's cry was whipped away by the wind. Grimly, he struggled to keep the plane steady, while Brown inched his way along the wing, clinging to the struts with all his strength to stop himself being torn away.
Just a few more inches. That's it. Now the knife. Hold it steady. I mustn't drop it. Good. Now to chip this ice away. Rush this job. You've got to take it nice and easy. Good. Move over to this side.
That'll do, Brown.
Now to get back. Gently. Watch it. Good. Oh, thank heavens.
Are you all right?
Sure. I'll have to go back later. It'll ice over again.
Five times Brown struggled along the wing and chipped at the air vent with a pocket knife. Five times Alcock struggled to keep the plane steady. Then at dawn, he lifted the aircraft to 11,000 feet to check their position And once again, disaster struck. The starboard engine failed. The plane swooped down wildly through the dense cloud, the storm, the snow towards the sea. And then, miraculously, at 500 feet, the engine started again. And, hopping the waves, they flew on towards Ireland. Meanwhile, in Newfoundland...
The Daily Mail have been requesting information, sir.
Tell them there's nothing, absolutely nothing.
They wanted to know your assessment of the position.
My assessment? The adventure is going to be a success, of course. It must be. You can tell them with my compliments that I'm expecting news any moment.
But we calculated it would take them approximately 10 hours, sir. Well, it's now over 15.
Our calculations were inaccurate. As the Atlantic has never been flown before, there can't possibly be any certainty.
Yes, sir.
Have any more reports come in from sightings from ships?
No, none, sir.
COL, I suppose it...
There's something coming through now, sir. Aircraft sighted.
What?
400 and... Irish coast.
Irish coast?
Irish west coast. Message ends.
West coast? That must be County Galway. Get through to the Daily Mail and tell them mission successfully completed. No. Wait. Not yet, Dave. We must be sure. We can't allow our enthusiasm to carry us away. Once they've landed, we'll break the story. And only then.
I never thought they'd do it, sir.
I knew they must. They have an excellent aircraft and they're highly skilled. They had to succeed, and then...
Oh, wait a minute, sir.
Eh?
Another message coming through. Vickers Vimy, crash-landed, Connemara. Crew uninjured.
Well...
Message ends.
Well, by heavens, if I had champagne...
Yeah, another message, sir. Brown and Alcock, fly Atlantic. Win Daily Mail prize of £10,000. Both men exhausted, but well...
The incredible flight ended in glory. The two men had flown 1,890 miles in 15 hours, 57 minutes, at an average speed of 118 miles an hour. They had lived through snow and hail and wind and rain in an open cockpit. It is men like these who made aviation history. Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we bring you a true story that has made headlines in Scoop.